Blog Talk Hello? Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I trust that everyone can hear me. Yes, we are on live, and it's difficult for me to see everybody online and even to bring you in this afternoon because I cannot see what's going on with my computer. My computer is giving me some problems, so it's difficult for me to just bring you in. But I just want to thank you all for joining us and for everyone that is listening, wherever you are. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and this afternoon we are going to be tremendously blessed, as usual, as we look at the Word of God. Today we are looking at a part two of what we started last week. So the topic is entitled The Promise Part 2. The Promise Part 2. And what we are doing is looking at the Old Testament and the promise that God had made to Abram, and see how that promise is going to be extended to even us today that are living in the world. I just want to thank you all again for joining us and to apologize just for the fact that I cannot bring you in today because I can't see what's going on my computer. It's not allowing me to see who is there and who is not there this afternoon, so I really cannot bring you in. I can't even allow you to interact with me over the phone. I'm just using my phone right now. But nevertheless, I know that you would be blessed. I know that this program is going to be a blessing to you as we look at the new topic for today, which is the Promise Part 2. The Promise Part 2. As we go into this topic, there is something that I want us to read, that I just wanted to read for you before we begin. And I'm just turning to it. I'm just turning to it now. And it's taken from a little book called The Power of Prayer. The Power of Prayer. And it's talking about trust. Remember, God promised us His love, He promised us His mercy, He promised us His grace, and most of all, He promised us salvation. And now, these things were promised way back in the Old Testament time and then in the New Testament, and now we are living here today. The thing that we have to do is to trust these promises. All right? He said them. We have to believe them, and that should settle it for us. And so I'm just going to read what this little book here, it talks about. It's called The Power of Prayer. It's a one-minute devotional book, and the book is entitled The Power of Prayer. And this is what it says about trust. It says that the trust that supplies prayer centers in a person. All right? The trust that supplies prayer centers in a person. Then it goes on to say, but trust goes even further than this. So our trust is not only centered in what Jesus did, but it says it goes even further than this. It says the trust that inspires our prayer must not only be in the person of God and of Christ, but in their ability and willingness to grant the things we pray for. Amen? So the trust that we have in God must not only be in the person, right? But it must also be in their ability and in their willingness to grant the things that we are praying for, or to grant the things that they have promised. So as we look at the promise of God, part two, is God able to fulfill that promise? And the second question is He willing to fulfill that promise? Is He willing to do what it takes in order to fulfill the promise? A lot of times we make promises, but it is not easy for us to keep them. Because especially if the promise would cost us something, and if it would cost us dearly, sometimes we want to back out of it. But is God like that? Would God back out of the promises that He has made towards us? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. But before we turn to our Bibles, and before we read from the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and look at this promise that God made to Abraham, which is the promise for us as well. Let us just bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to look at your word once again. And as we go through this little promise that you made to Abraham, which is a big promise, and it's a promise that is extended to each and every one of us, we pray and ask that you may help us to see the import of this promise and to really accept it and to really believe that you are not only able to fulfill this promise, but you are even willing to do so. Even when you made it to Abraham, and you were willing to do it for us as well. So we thank you for your promises, and we thank you for your willingness to fulfill these promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you get your Bible, then you can turn with me. I would like you to turn to the book of Genesis, and that's where we'll be reading from, Genesis. And we'll be looking at the 15th chapter, Genesis chapter 15. And I'm just going to read from verse 1 again. We did from verse 1 to verse 6 last week. So today we're going to continue from verse 7. But I'm just going to read. So for those of us who weren't with us last week, you can get a background of what we talked about last week. You can get some. I'll just give you a little background. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, and this is the crucial verse of this first study that we did last week. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. So the Bible said that Abram was, you know, having a little discussion with God in a vision, right? And it was just after he had, you know, got into a little confrontation with some kings that had taken away his nephew Lot and his family. And Abram went after them and freed Lot and brought back Lot and saved his family from these kings. And now Abram was there with God in vision, and God was telling him, don't be afraid. Maybe Abram was wondering whether, you know, these kings were going to regroup and come after him or whatever. I don't know what was on his mind, but God, who can read the minds and thoughts of men, visited Abraham in this vision and told him, don't be afraid. God said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. So in other words, God was telling Abraham, look, Abraham, don't worry about these guys because I got your back. I am with you. And I am not only with you, but I am your great reward. So the Bible says that Abraham says, Lord, you're saying you're my reward, but what will you give me? He's saying, I have so many things already, and you've given me so much, but the thing that I really need, you have not given me, and that is a child. I'm going childless still, and I have to make one of my servants, you know, my heir, and my servant is the one who's going to inherit all these things that you've given me. So what are you going to continue to give me, you know? And so the Lord told him, he says, even though things don't seem like you're going to be getting a child anything soon, you know, anytime soon, and you're getting older and Sarah's getting older, listen, you are going to have a child. And he says, you won't have to make Eliezer of Damascus your heir. because I am going to give you a child that is going to come from your own body, and that is going to come from Sarah, right? Sarah is going to bring forth, and she's going to have this child. And he says not only that, but the Lord says, look, if you can count the stars, he took him outside and he showed Abram the stars, and he says, if you can count the stars in the sky, then you'll be able to count the amount of children that I'm going to give you. Right? He said, this is how your descendants are going to be. They're going to be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And the Bible says, in the face of all this, in the face of all the disappointment and things that Abraham was going through, because he had no child, in the face of there being no sign of him getting any child anytime soon, the Bible said in verse 6 that Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. Many times we think that righteousness comes by doing things and by, you know, the way we act and by being good. We think that if we are good enough, if we can stop sinning, you know, if we keep the Sabbath holy and we keep all the commandments, we think that those are the things that bring righteousness. But the Bible never said that. The Bible says that all that Abraham did, sometimes we think that if we get baptized, we're going to be righteous. The Bible said that all that Abraham did was to believe in God. Amen? And he acted on that belief. And because of his belief in what God had said, that was counted for righteousness. And the question is for us today, do you believe God? Do you believe the promises of God? Well, you should, because those beliefs, or our belief in God, is what is counted for righteousness. But the Bible says it's not only, and the key thing about this, Abraham didn't only believe God and believe what God says, but Abraham believed, when it talks about Abraham believed God, he believed also in God's ability to fulfill what he said. In other words, he believed that God was more than able to do it. God said it, and not only did he say it, but he was able to do it. Sometimes we make promises that we are not able to fulfill. Amen? But God is able to fulfill. And that might be the word today. You know, my wife had put up something on Facebook, and it just says, God is able. You know, and that's what I want to remind us today and to leave with us today, that God is not only promising or making promises that he cannot keep, but he is able to fulfill those promises. And not only is he able to fulfill them, but he is also willing to fulfill those promises. And that is what Abraham believed. He believed that God could do it. God said it, and God could do it. And he believed that God was more than willing to also fulfill these promises. Well, let's jump on a little bit. Let's read on a little bit to verse. Let's move to verse 7 and then see if we can get all the way down to verse 17, or at least as close as possible to that. It says in Genesis 15 and verse 7, it says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord, that's what the Lord said, that brought thee out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? In other words, the Lord said, how am I going to, Abraham said to the Lord, how am I know that I'm going to inherit all this land? He's asking questions again, right? Just like how he was asking about how, you know, the Lord is going to bring forth, how is he going to have a child, you know? And now he's asking, how is he going to know that he will bring forth, that he's going to inherit this land? And so in verse 9, the Lord says, and he said unto him, take me an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took it, verse 10, unto him all these, and divided them in the midst. In other words, he cut them in half. He cut the animals in half. And he laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. So he did not divide the turtle dove and the pigeon, but the heifer, the she-goat, as well as the ram. Abraham killed them and he divided them in half. And what he did, he laid them side by side and made a path through them so that there was a path between the animals that he killed. He divided in half and he made a pathway with them. And just take notice that they were 3 years old, all right, each of those animals that Abraham killed. It says, and when the fowl of the air came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 14, it says, and also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Right? Talking about Israel being in Egypt and being slaves. And then verse 15 says, and thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good old age. Right? Telling Abraham what would happen to him. But verse 16 it says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. In other words, God was saying that, you know, it's not time for them to possess the land because the iniquity of the Amorites and those Canaanites have not been fulfilled as yet. But look at verse 17. It says here, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces or the carcasses that Abraham divided. All right, so let me just back up here and say a little bit of what happened. So Abraham obeyed the Lord and he cut these animals in half and he made a, what you may call like a gauntlet or a pathway where he put, you know, the animals on each side and then there was a path for them to pass through. Now, what that was doing is that back in the days, in the olden days, that's how they would make a covenant. All right, two persons make a covenant that way. And so what they would do is kill these animals, make the pathway. You know, you put one piece on each side, and then you leave a path to walk through. And, of course, you know, that would be a whole bloody pathway because you have these dead animals and all the blood and all the rest that was involved there. But what these two persons who were making the covenant would do is that they walk through this gauntlet, so to speak, or as they walk through this pathway that was made by the carcasses, they were saying to each other that they were going to fulfill their covenant, come what may. And if they don't fulfill that covenant, then so be it, you know, or be it unto me as these carcasses. In other words, let me be divided in half if I cannot fulfill these covenant, or if I cannot fulfill this covenant, or if I do not fulfill my bargain here. So like today we would have, you know, like people who would, if you buy a house and you get a deed and both persons would sign, both the buyer and the seller and everybody would sign and agree into the terms and conditions of the sale or any kind of a bargain that you make or any kind of agreement, you sign it with a signature. But back then, that was what they did. They cut up these carcasses, and it basically was being signed in blood because each person would be saying that if I should break my vow, then let this happen to me. So God had made a plan to Abraham, and he was telling Abraham that, Abraham, look, you're gonna possess this land. And not only you, but your descendants are going to possess this land. And I am making this promise to you, and I am signing it with blood. They are going to possess the land, and I am signing it with my own blood. God is saying that not only am I able to fulfill this promise, But I am also willing to fulfill this promise that if I don't, let me die. You know, I'm going to fulfill this, you know, even to the point of death. Imagine God is talking about dying, right? Saying he's going to be like one of these carcasses if he don't fulfill the promise to Abraham and to his descendants. The funny thing about this, though, is that when Abraham did all this and he set the carcasses up and everything, God did not come down right away to walk with him through it. So Abraham was there, the birds came, and the birds was trying to, you know, those vultures to try to eat those dead animals, and Abraham had to shoo them away and all the rest of it. And it says that when nightfall came, Abraham fell into a sleep. And not only did he fell into a sleep, but he fell into a deep sleep, it said, and he started to dream, and God was talking to him in the dream and all the rest of it. Well, Abraham at that time, his name wasn't changed as yet. Abraham was fast asleep when the night came. And so the Bible says, when the place was dark. Isn't that something? It says, in the darkness of the hour. Look at verse 17. I'm going to read that again. I'm reading from the New International Version this time. It says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, it says, a smoking fire pot, that is how the New International put it, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. In other words, at the darkest hour, Abraham was asleep. That's when God came. And he came in the form of a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch. And he passed between the carcasses all by himself. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. And my wife is just saying he did that because he was the one that was making the promise. And that is true. All right? Abraham had nothing to do with it. All that Abraham had to do was to do what? Believe. That was it. That was all that Abraham and his descendants had to do, was to believe in God. But God was the one who was going to walk that gauntlet all by himself. I said it for half an hour. I said the program for half an hour, so it looked like we're almost up already. But we're going to keep going as far as we can go. So God came down, and he walked through those carcasses all by himself. And when he did that, what he was saying to Abraham is that, Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise to you. And I'm going to keep my promise to your descendants, even if it means that I have to die to do so. Isn't that something? God is faithful, amen? And not only is he faithful, but he is willing. And the Bible says that many years later, and I'm just going to jump to the end because we're running out of time here, but many years later, when the earth was at its darkest point, there were 400 years of silence between the Old and the New Testament. And by the way, there are so many similarities or so many references here to what Jesus did. Remember, it says that Israel was going to be in Egypt for 400 years, and then there were 400 years between the Old and the New Testament when there was not a word from God. And that was when the word came. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And by the way, those animals that were killed, each of them had to be 3 years old. Jesus, when he came, he ministered for 3.5 years. Isn't that something? That was it. And then he was killed. Amen? So you see how all this was a representation of what Jesus Christ would do. And all this was saying that God is not only able to keep his promise, but he was willing to do it even at the point of death. And so walking between those carcasses was the road that Jesus walked when he came. Literally, you know, in the New Testament time, and he walked what they call the Via Dolorosa, you know, the road of suffering. He walked that road all by himself. He was that blazing firepot, that smoking firepot and that blazing torch. He walked that road by himself, and he gave his life on Calvary for you and me. And that is why we have Easter today. That's why we celebrate Easter, right? The coming of Christ to die upon the earth. But thank God that he did not only die, but he rose again, right? And now he's in heaven making intercession for us. Amen. But way back then, God made this promise to Abraham, and he showed Abraham exactly what he was going to do. Amen. And it's amazing that the Bible says that God became man, because as God, he couldn't die. But in order to die, he had to become man. And he took on human flesh, and he died upon the cross so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the question is for you and I today. The question is, do you believe? Yeah. Do you believe? Do I believe? If you believe, why don't we bow our heads and pray to the Lord today? And even if you don't believe, why don't we pray? You can pray in your heart as I pray. And say, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, like the man said to Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Let us pray as we close this program for the day. Dear Father, we thank you so much for being here with us, for guiding and directing our thoughts as we study your word. We pray that you may help us as we believe. Help us to know that you are not only willing to that you are not only able to fulfill your promise, but you are willing to the point where you are willing to come down in the form of your Son Jesus Christ and died upon that old rugged cross so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for dying. Thank you for living. Thank you for raising again from the dead so that we can have the assurance that one day we too, even if we die, will rise and you come a second time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a wonderful evening. And we'll see you next week at this same time, station, where we'll continue to look at the wonderful words of life. Invite a friend and be with us at 6 p.m. next week. For those in Alabama, it would be 5 p.m. in the afternoon. But for those right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and along the eastern seaboard, along with the Eastern Standard Time, it would be at 6 p.m. Thanks again for listening. God bless. See you next time. Bye for now.